Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
G'day, Lewis.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
Look, I'm well. We've had about a month off this podcast because thanks to coronavirus, several shows have been cancelled. And I want everybody to know, I decided we should start the podcast again to sell our Melbourne shows because we have two Melbourne shows on sale for middle of August. Mm. And today they were also cancelled.
Congrats. We did it. We should just book shows that we know we can't sell. Just be like,
yeah, we're at the MCG.
Yeah, let's do the MCG in early August.
I had an idea for a comedy festival prank, which would be to actually book like a conference room at the MCG and only do three nights during festival, and then order some gigantic billboard saying "Dan Illich, MCG, three nights only." And when you turn up, you have to go up to the members stand. And I'm in like this room that fits 80 people.
I love that. Yeah,
I'm going to do that.
So more cancelled shows, which is great, but really good to be back, Dan.
Yes, it is good. Yes, I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dum, and Section 40. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, the Tokyo Olympics opening ceremony is hours away, but critics are saying that it's a mistake to allow Delta to perform. And Jeff Bezos flies into space to feel what it's like to no longer be the richest man on Earth. And Scott Morrison regrets saying that the vaccine rollout is not a race, when clearly it is the race that has stopped the nation. It is the 21st of July, 2021, and this is the podcast that unifies the entire world. This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, former Queensland Premier Dan Illich. Let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. First up is a Melbourne man who is quite satisfied with the gold standard containment of the coronavirus in New South Wales. It's Sammy Shah.
How are you doing, everyone? I'm quite loving this lockdown life that we've all been presented with. I've decided that's the approach I'm taking. Everyone else is hating it. I'm going to be the weirdo who loves it. So it's going to be my brand. That's my new look.
Sammy locked in Shah. Next is a Sydney stand-up comedian who is definitely okay with not being able to do gigs to earn money. It's Jenny Tian.
Hi. Yeah, I'm also in lockdown at the moment. I'm the opposite of Sammy. I have been dying here. I've been doing a haircut tutorial off TikTok, and now it looks like I've got like three hairstyles in one. My hair looks like a decorative rug, honestly.
Well, I'm glad you said that because our final guest, while in lockdown, allowed his girlfriend to cut his own hair. It's Lewis Hover.
Yes, and look at these beautiful results. Obviously, the hair on the top of the head I think is actually pretty good. But the mustache, which you can't see on the podcast, so let me describe it to you.
Yeah,
perfect,
please.
And everyone loves it. No notes, 100%. Definitely no one calling me a sex pest or sex pest adjacent descriptions like 80s PE teacher, which is essentially the same thing.
It's very 70s German porn star mustache. Like you've definitely got a vibe there. It's the kind of mustache where, like, if you walk into a car dealership, they'll give you the white paneled van for free because they're like, clearly, this is your calling.
We're better for it for having you here, Lewis. Thank you so much. Hey, I don't know if you folks noticed this, but while we were on hiatus for the podcast, Irrational Fear made it into the New York Times. During the break, when the government put out their ad for the coronavirus campaign, the really scare tactic ad, the one that used Matrix Green. No one uses Matrix Green anymore, but they insisted on using Matrix Green to scare people and getting a vaccine. I made a parody of that and put it up on Irrational Fear, and we got into the New York Times.
Well done.
Well done.
Which is
that's huge.
This is why no one buys newspapers anymore.
And as a consequence, they're our sponsor for this week.
She was a 39-year-old non-essential graphic designer who was merely 8 months away from being eligible for a Pfizer vaccine. And yet, she refused to enrol herself into St. Joseph's College. Let's beat COVID-19 together. Turn 40 sooner. Or be the son of Liberal Party donors. Spoken by someone who would never be held to account from the I Don't Hold a Syringe Department, Canberra.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
I love
thank
it.
Thank you, thank you. The thing about the original ad that really got me was that they just made it so easy to rip and parody. It was a parody proof. It was like a parody open slather because they had no voiceover over the top of it, and you could easily rip it and add your own voiceover. I encourage everybody to do it. It's easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that. I thought it was the real ad.
Are you any closer to 40, Jenny?
Oh, yeah. Yep, exactly. That's me, precisely. Yep.
Am I the oldest person here today? Am I the only one over 40, actually?
Are you the only one vaccinated?
Oh, well, I've had one round. I went and got one round of AstraZeneca. So I've had the first round of Astra. And by the way, the reaction, like, I was shivering and shaking. And, like, it was very much what, this at like 1 o'clock in the morning when I'm lying in a puddle of my own sweat, I was like, maybe the anti-vaxxers have a point. Like, this is pretty gross. But the next morning I was fine again. But yeah, I've had one round. So I'm still not Delta proof, but I'm a little bit closer.
I'm not 40. Obviously, I still work at Triple J. They'd put a bolt in your head when you hit 40. But I'm one round in as well. So I'm,
Astra or Pfizer?
Take that,
or?
Mud people. No, I'm Pfizer. I'm fancy as hell. Ooh, they give me the good stuff.
Me too. I'm also one round in. Pfizer too. We're elite.
How the fuck is everyone getting Pfizer?
I'm the only one out here in Bondi Beach not vaccinated. What's going on?
You're in ground zero, Dan. You are literally basically dry humping patient zero off the new Delta outbreak, and you don't have a vaccine.
Well, this is the first story for today. A Sydney man who's received his fourth dose of coronavirus vaccine. Right. He's doubled up. He's done the AstraZeneca and the Pfizer. This is last week. 34-year-old Tom Lee got two lots of vaccines over the last month. Jenny, do you think this is fair that this guy's just gone and doubled up his vaccines?
You know what I think is really genius about it is that the way he did it was that he just hung around vaccination centres basically and then just went and like asked people and then he managed to get them. So I reckon he's kind of a genius.
I think this is probably a good strategy for everyone, just to lurk.
This is very much how most comedians start their career as well. You just go to a comedy club and you hang around until finally they're like, all right, do you want to get on stage? In fact, it's also how most ABC employees start their career. It's definitely how I got mine, by just kind of hanging around the corridors until they got embarrassed and gave me a job. So if that works in Australia for these two industries, it makes sense it would work for everything else in the country as well. You know what? I'm going to start hanging around Kirribilli, just roaming around Kirribilli, waiting to be the next PM. Eventually, you will get embarrassed and make me PM.
I was thinking about this today, Sammy. I was thinking, gee, if I reckon I would have been a really awesome prime minister 18 months ago, I could have foreseen all of this and put in a bunch of shit rather in to fix coronavirus before it got this bad, before, I reckon I could have done a better job.
You know what, Dan? This is exactly like when you watch the Winter Olympics and you sit there and those Olympic skiers are going downhill, bobbing and weaving, and you're sitting at home on your couch with a remote going, oh, please, I could do better than that.
Sammy, gravity does most of the work. Gravity does all of the work. Of course you can. I'm a short man. I'm a short, heavy-set man. I've got gravity on my side, brother.
I'm just saying, let's give Scott Morrison the benefit of the doubt. Clearly, he's doing the best he can, and it is ableist to make fun of someone doing the best they can when their best they can is just that little.
But he definitely was. He was just lurking. He wasn't the prime minister. He was just there.
Yeah.
There he was, third in line, and he Bradbury'd his way. Like he 100% followed this.
It was like the movie The Death of Stalin, but with none of the cleverness, funniness, intelligence, gravitas, personality, political savvy, or any of those things. Actually, it was nothing like the movie Death of Stalin.
Unless in the movie he went over to the UK to get like a DNA test and find his ancestry.
Other Death of Stalin story. I saw Death of Stalin at the Sundance Film Festival, but I had a edible.
And yet, edible. Here he is, unvaccinated.
Yeah. You
not so fancy
Bondi
now, are
shit.
You, loser?
I saw his story right now. This Bondi scum story, unvaxxed, anti-vaxxer Dan Illich's story is, I saw the Death of Stalin in Cannes Film Festival while having an edible. Were you wearing thongs and running up and down the beach with your man boobs flapping in the breeze, you asshole?
Sammy, it was Sundance. It was snowing. It was snowing.
All right, one day soon, Dan, we'll be sun dancing on your grave while the rest of us vaccinated people live our dreams.
And I had an edible before the show, and I was having a great time, and I was laughing my head off, but none of the Americans in the audience were enjoying it as much as I was. And then during the Q&A, I said to myself, oh, man, I love Armando Nucci. I've got to go meet Armando Nucci. Oh, no. And I got down to the second or first row in at the Sundance Film Festival. And after Q&A, I was so stoned that I walked up to him and said, Armando, and then I can't remember anything I said after that. It was something about being a satirist too. You and I were satirists, but I'm pretty sure.
You and I are satirists.
I'm pretty sure it was just a jumble of fucking consonants and vowels. It made no sense.
Anyway, Armando is now a Patreon subscriber, so you win.
Irrational Fear. Let me just say for the record, as a politician, the vaccine rollout in Australia is a shit show. It is just a mess. And Scotty from marketing has got to take some of the responsibility for it.
Well, that was exactly the point I was making yesterday.
Irrational Fear.
Exactly the point.
Our second fear this week is who will replace Hamish McDonald on Q&A? Yes, Hamish McDonald has quit the ABC, said no more, and he's now seconded back to the project where he came. Sammy, have you got any ideas about who may replace Hamish McDonald on Q&A?
I mean, there's who should replace him and then who will replace him, right? Those are two separate conversations. The first thing is I do know that announcement. I know that announcement very well, which is when they say he's moving on to other projects. It means the ratings didn't work out the way we were hoping they would. We're going to not continue his contract. We might even end his contract early. And we're going to make it sound like it's all his decision, while the real people whose fault it is that the show is no good and basically unwatchable, who are the producers and executive producers of the show, will continue on their contracts, getting the salaries that they will continue to get. Anyway, fuck off poor Hamish, because it is not his fault. It was a shit show and he was hosting a shit show. But regardless, he's gone. Here's who I think. You want to know my honest opinion? Other than myself, and I genuinely think I do a fucking great job.
No, Sammy, this is my point. Well, I wanted to hear you say. I wanted to hear you give the case for yourself,
Sammy. Pitch.
All right, here's the fucking pitch.
Yeah, yeah, bring it, Sarah, bring it.
All right, let's fucking do this. Right? It's a debate show. In the end, Q&A is a debate show. And believe it or not, but I was a world-class debater growing up. All right, in high school, in university, I paid my way through university, not through prostitution the way an honorable and respectable young man does. I did it through debate competitions. What kind of world-class nerd do you have to be a debater who pays his university fees using the money and winning some debates? That was me, all right? And I go on these kinds of shows, which to date have been so bland, so utterly boring, so lacking in personality that the hosts were interchangeable with planks of wood and would have had the exact same low ratings. All right? I'll do it. I'll make it funny. I'll call bullshit when bullshit is said. I will fact check people the way with regular diligence that never happens. And at the same time, encourage good conversation. How many times have you watched Q&A and the conversation's about to get spicy? Two people start arguing and then the presenter goes, okay, we don't have time for that. Shut the fuck up. This is why we're here. We want a viral clip on YouTube that we can then comment on Twitter about. Stop cutting the conversation short. You fucking hack whose entire job is just making sure everything's as bland as a piece of cream. No, fuck off. Let me host the show. But no, they're never going to do it. They're never going to give it to me. They're never going to give it to Nikki or Louis. They're never going to give it to anyone who's even vaguely interesting. You know who's going to get the show? It'll be Spears. It'll be fucking David Spears, who's the only person who can make Anthony Albanese look ethnic. He's so fucking dull. All right? And he is going to be the next presenter of the most boring show in Australian television history. Good luck to him. I wait until the ratings go completely into the toilet. Fuck you, Q&A.
That was so beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm so inspired.
Oh, have you thought about this much, Sammy? Or
not at all. Not at all.
That's great.
I mean, yeah, imagine me doing one of those beautiful rants on television. Yeah. As opposed,
you're like, I'm pretty sure we got guests to talk. Your job is to moderate.
I've been on the show once, by the way. I've turned it down three times. I've been on the show one time. Yeah. I sat next to Jim Molan, that's right, and who's unfortunately now very tragically been diagnosed with cancer. And I'm not making fun of him at all for that. But I will say that he had the worst breath I have ever smelled on a human being when sitting next to him. So every time he spoke, I had to lean back into my seat so that the breath would waft past me and towards the presenter and not myself.
In debating, is there any rules against that, or is that quite a good tactic? Sort of germ
warfare.
That's
a great tactic. That's the black arts, and he was well versed in them.
If we're taking the lurking approach, if we think that lurking around somewhere is what gets you the job, whoever wants to host it should lurk back on Monday nights and just wait. Well, whoever's currently lurking on Monday night, I don't know what shows are on, but just move it back there, and whoever's currently hosting at 8:30 on a Monday, give it to them.
I've got a pass. Sammy, I can get into the building. I can do some lurking.
There every day.
Yeah, I'll take the leftovers. No dignity.
Jenny, do you have any ideas about who you'd like to host Q&A?
Dude, like after hearing Sammy talk, I'm just like, wow, I had no idea there was like so much that went behind it and into it. I am Team Sammy, like all the way.
Thank you.
I reckon
that's
my final decision. I haven't considered anyone else. I haven't seen any other candidates, but I've been moved.
Yeah, I think giving it to somebody who wants it is a good idea. It's a good first step.
Well, I mean, that's been Waleed's entire career so far, is trying to get up to host Q&A, and they refuse to give it to him. I think they're just being cruel. They're going to give it to everyone in Australia but Waleed Ali.
Well, I know that, you know, Waleed Ali and Hamish are represented by the same agency. Maybe they're trying to do kind of swap, crazy swap here. That's interesting.
Oh, but I mean, look, it's. I think he would be amazing. I think if he got it, because of how polarizing he is, that alone would drive viewership numbers up. Because you would either, people who like Waleed would watch it, people who dislike Waleed would hate watch it, but they'd watch it regardless. Yeah. And also, yeah, he conducts debate well. I think he's more interesting and you get more personality out of it. Hamish is an amazing journalist. But they need to revamp the show. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's presenting it. If the show is still structured the same way, it'll be boring.
I agree. I think Hamish is one of the best brains in journalism in Australia. Like, he's so he's so good. And I think there is fundamental problems with the show itself, yeah.
It's on Thursday. No, that's the fundamental problem.
Yeah, can you believe they moved it? Why would you move it off that rockstar Monday night that's been there for 20 years?
Yeah.
It's crazy. God. Like, if you whoever made that decision should be going back to the project. Like, it's crazy to me.
I really like this from Tim Chuma on YouTube. He says, Friendly Geordie should host Q&A.
Look.
Yeah. Get the youth vote.
I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it. Wouldn't you watch it?
Yeah, I would. It'd be very compelling.
No, I wouldn't. No, I like myself. No.
But I don't watch it anyway, so I would still continue to not watch it. But yeah.
All right, this week's third fear. Now, this might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. The Coalition believes it has the numbers to stop the Great Barrier Reef as being enlisted as in danger from UNESCO. So what's happened is over the last month, the UNESCO has decided that the Great Barrier Reef is going to be listed as in danger. But to stop that from happening, the coalition government has sent Susan Ley, the environment minister, on a 7-stop whistle stop tour, 8 days to talk to every ambassador to the UN for various countries to try and prevent this from happening. It's like, why are they doing this and not sending our health minister to go and get Pfizer vaccine? Why? What benefit is there to try and get a whole bunch of people to not vote that the Great Barrier Reef is in mortal danger when it clearly is dying before our very eyes? Fearmongers, what do you think about this, Jenny?
I think it's quite hilarious that they've decided to send her on this trip over a plane and she's supposed to be the environmental minister.
Yeah, why don't they send her over Zoom like everybody else
exactly.
has to do?
Yeah.
No, it's quite astounding to kind of see the kind of other people that they're talking to. Australia is trying to shore up votes in the UN with the likes of Bahrain and Saudi Arabia and the Maldives and Mali and a whole bunch of other countries that are ostensibly bad actors. And
why don't we just do what we normally do in these situations, which every country normally does in these situations, is you go to Nauru and you give them $25 and a can of pineapples or whatever it takes to bribe Nauru these days, and they just vote in your favor, and then as a result, you get, why do you have to go to 7 whole other countries?
Or to actually do what we've historically done with the UN, which is just wait for them to tell us we're committing human rights abuses and then say we don't care.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, well, it's so amazing that this government actually cares at all about the kind of threatening of the Great Barrier Reef at all, according to the UN. Why do they care about this and not care about our gross human rights abuses? Like,
well, I mean, I've got a theory. I reckon because the thing is, they're just kind of like delaying it till later. So it's like they're just putting in a lot of effort right now to basically procrastinate like you would if it was like a big university final assignment and they're like, we're going to just take a look at it at the last minute.
Mm. Yeah, or the dream would be to kick it down just long enough till after the next election. And then if they kind of like, well, if we win, we deal with it. If we lose, someone else's problem.
But that's exactly what they're doing. So they're actually putting off the vote. They're actually trying to convince the UNESCO to put off the vote to 2023. So that's exactly what they're doing, Lewis. It's beyond parody.
Fuck, I hate that I thought that, and I hate that they're doing that, and I hate
you
how predictable that was.
I actually
should be a politician.
Have Susan Lee's her travel plan for the 8 days. This is a legit thing. These are the places she went to over 8 days. So it was Budapest to Paris, Paris to Madrid, Madrid back to Paris, Paris to Sarajevo, Sarajevo back to Paris, Paris to Maldives via Oman, Maldives to Australia.
Dude, is this that film around? Is that the film Around the World in 80 Days?
Or just around shitty countries in 80 days. But like that is basically a lot of air miles to get together to destroy the Great Barrier Reef, which I think Susan Lee's done a really good job of doing single-handedly.
Can I say, if the Maldives, if they, as like a group of island nations who are sinking, if they vote against this, like that is the biggest self-own. You're just like, no, this has got to be the sort of, this is going to be one of the only things you care about. Like, you're going under. Like, you need to stop this.
Yeah, the Maldives is literally a nation built on top of a coral reef.
Yeah.
And they're voting against their entire interest. Oh, well, we're all going to die. Cool. Hey,
Well, the great thing is now that there are so many different options as to how. You know, 2 years ago it was definitely climate change. Now it could be anything.
Yeah, you never know. Speaking of coronavirus and other diseases destroying Australia, I don't know if you saw this. Unfortunately, the Australian Grand Prix has been replaced with something else.
This November, Melbourne's biggest event is set to blow you away like COVID clearing your social calendar. Strap in to witness all the action at Albert Park Racetrack, like birds mating. Get a ticket to see Lakeside Drive lit up with a groundskeeper riding a lawnmower in the distance.
Fuck, I missed a spot.
And catch all the action off the track with the colour and movement of the Melbourne City Falun Gong practitioners. Melbourne is set to be silent this November at the Australian Grand Prix. A ticket will buy you a whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. Or probably no seat at all because the grass is going to be pretty nice.
No, that's much better.
Very good, the Australian Grand Prix. All right, folks. Well, I don't know if you saw this, but Jeff Bezos went into space and he went up and he went down. He spent like 4 minutes in space and he floated around and threw some Skittles around. And when he got back down, they held a press conference about that journey and he actually gave a shout out to a bunch of people about his time in space.
I want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer, because you guys paid for all this. So seriously, for every Amazon customer out there and every Amazon employee, thank you from the bottom of my heart very much.
Does that make you want to throw up as much as it makes me want to throw up?
They remember they'd installed those booths in every Amazon factory where it was like a solitary space booth where you could go inside and you could cry or scream or pee into a bottle or whatever and Amazon employees do when they get a few moments alone. That booth is filled with just Amazon employees ripping their own skin off their bodies right now. It is just pure rage. Could that man embody a midlife crisis more? I have been divorced. Get it together, mate. What the fuck?
Yeah, Sammy, did you ever consider getting a divorce cowboy hat?
No, for some reason, I had just enough dignity to stop myself from doing that. I did go blonde, so I got all dignity. But yes, clearly I had enough.
The best case, like, if you were to try to, like, present that in the best possible case, if you were, like, to go back in time, you're like, guys, in the future there's going to be a new world. And you would be like, there is a man who started a bookstore and then he went to space. And people are like, wow, I should keep reading. Maybe then too I can be an astronaut. And if you really took out the edges of that story, it could be quite nice.
And way to rub it in, Jeff Bezos. Like, oh my goodness. Those 4 minutes though, when he was in space, I reckon was the best 4 minutes of the Amazon employees' lives. They were like, finally, a break.
They all peed simultaneously because they've been holding it in waiting.
Yeah. I get to pee, finally.
But also, what's the achievement? He didn't go any higher in space than anyone's been before. It wasn't a commercial flight that now we can all afford to do. It was a very rich man buying a rocket and going up into space for 4 minutes. Every Russian billionaire petrocrat has probably done that at this point. We just don't know about it. Like, what exactly was the achievement here?
I mean, I think the achievement was that he got to have a massive press conference where he said, fuck you to all his employees.
That is the real win here.
Paul Ford, who is who was the founder of Postlight Studio in New York, he tweeted, I never thought I'd see this day, the day when space was made uncool.
The other part of that press conference, I don't know if you watched the whole thing, but you know how there's the effect that they talk about when astronauts go up into space and they see the Earth from space.
Yeah.
And they
look
down and they're like, their mind is blown and they understand their position in the
world. There's no borders and blah, 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 right?
We're all just people. And clearly when he came down, he had been told by someone in like public relations to say that. And I don't think he experienced that at all. But you can see a moment where he like trots out this line with like literally no feeling behind his eyes. And he's like, I really learned about the world. And you're like, dude, all you saw up there was more opportunity for slaves.
He was just like looking over at Mars like, all right, that's next. Let me conquer that now.
Yeah. A lot of ocean out there. I wonder if there's any employees I can underpay in there.
Where is a Challenger-style explosion disaster when you need one? I mean, really, that's the only thing else. A loose bolt in a rocket can take that, take out a teacher who got onto a rocket, but for some reason, Jeff Bezos gets the lucky rocket that doesn't explode mid-flight.
I know. I agree with you, Lewis. Like he did say that, but if you look at the footage, I can't ever remember anyone looking out the window. Like the footage was like of them getting out of their seats, throwing Skittles at each other, them high-fiving, doing a selfie. And in 4 minutes, you don't have time to contemplate the universe and existentialism. Like you just don't have time to do that. And they spent like 3 minutes to like jumping around and hanging out with each other.
But also as a like content creator, imagine the pressure of that. Like you're going, all right, we've got one take and we have spent a lot on this. Yeah. You are not a professional actor. We've given you 3 tasks. We need to get all of those for the content. So don't fuck this up. And it would be so possible to, as you're on the way back down, you're like, did we get it? Oh, fuck, I forgot to look out the window.
You know what, Lewis? I think you make a very good point. I had not thought about this, but I think the space trip by Jeff Bezos was faked. I think this was all filmed on a soundstage in Hollywood using Stanley Kubrick when he was still alive, and we're only now seeing this footage. The entire thing was faked.
That's right. That's why he looks so robotic when he's saying all of that. It's actually just artificial intelligence.
That's right.
Right? That's been done, like all that motion capture.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos was replaced by Alexa.
Alexa has a lot more personality than Jeff Bezos.
I really thought it was strange they called themselves astronauts and not like Prime Plus members. I thought that would have been a better way to call themselves. Well, that is it for the show today. Thank you so much to our fearmongers, Lewis Hobber, Jenny Tian, and Sammy Shard. Have you guys got anything to plug?
Jenny, you want to go first?
Look, I've got nothing going on. I'm in lockdown.
Sammy, what do you want to plug?
Look, if lockdown ends, then August 7th, I'm doing a show at Comedy Republic in Melbourne. It's a reprisal of my
No, you're not.
Okay, what are you doing?
Okay, look, here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen. I have no shows left. All I have now is appearing on podcasts for free and hoping people like my face enough to give money to my Patreon. So go to patreon.com/Sammy Shah and throw $7 my way and you'll get a ton of awesome free stuff and I won't cry as much as I do most nights.
Exactly. Jenny, do you have a Patreon you want to plug?
I don't have Patreon. No, I don't. I'll donate to Sammy's or donate to this one.
Jenny Town has got an excellent TikTok. Follow her TikTok. It is sensational. It's really, really good. Really, really funny.
It's at @nomnomjenny. My Instagram is jenny_tian. And once lockdown's over, I'll be back doing stand-up again.
Yeah, excellent. Lewis, you got anything to plug?
I'll tell you what. I do a radio show every day. It's on Triple J. It's called Hobber and Hing. At the moment, obviously, a lot of our listeners are usually people who drive home from work. don't know if you've heard. Not a lot of that going on. It feels quiet out there. So don't forget, if you're out there listening, flick on the radio at 3, say hello. You'll be one of about 4 people listening.
Also, Lewis will be doing circles of your neighborhood in his white van trying to pick up kids with candy. If you do see him, please feel sorry for him and put your child in the van.
Can I just say on that, first of all, good idea. But there was in like radio gossip, there was this story going around about Kyle and Jackie O. And like all, obviously they have a lot of ideas that get to air, and then there's the ideas that they have that don't get to air.
Imagine what those must be.
So there is one apparently that is this. They had this idea where they would set up with parents to lure children into a van using lollies, And God. If the kid got into the van, the parents did not win money. If the kid said no and didn't get into the van, they won like 20 grand.
Oh, my God.
That's insane. And how do you know this, Lewis?
In fact, I think they should replace Q&A with just that. That's what Q&A should be, is politicians and media commentators luring kids into vans. I'd watch that.
How do you know that, mate? You've done your research.
No, yeah. I need to know all of the TV ideas that are based on people who look like sex criminals so I know what to pitch for myself over the next 12 months. No, I want to double up.
A big thank you to Rode Microphones and our new Patreon supporters, Georgie Cowan, Irene, Gary Gleason, Daniel Mick, Kerry Reimer, Adam Zwar is a Patreon supporter, Lachlan Hatfield, Rose Ullman. We are off the sweet, sweet money feed from the Bertha Foundation. So please join us on patreon.com/irrationalfear. Chip in there. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.